Hello, my pancake peeps, my bacon brigade. Before the show starts, take a second to subscribe and leave a review, share with some friends, and while you're listening, make sure you check out the Breakfast Store with so much amazing merchandise at breakfast.com. People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I am your host, Brent Pope. My guest today is the very talented actor who hails from Venezuela, Ariana Ron Pedrique. You might know her from the telenovela Rosario Tijeras or Lip Sync Mexico, but right now she's creating a lot of buzz in her starring role in IR, a feature film that premiered at South by Southwest, and we will talk all about that. And that's not all. We had a fantastic Venezuelan breakfast from Amara Cafe in Pasadena. So are you ready? Because I am. We have Ariana Ron Pedrique today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't eat any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Let me screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope. Ariana.
Hi, Brent.
Ron Pedrique, how are you?
Good. How are you?
That's the best I can speak, you know.
That's amazing. I'm surprised.
Oh.
I love your pronunciation.
Excellent. Well, you know.
Thank you so much for having me.
I took a lot of Spanish, and I'm still not very good at speaking Spanish. So
no,
I don't know. I read it okay. I can understand it okay.
You read it okay?
Yeah. Wow. If I read it, I can kind of figure it out.
Okay.
If I'm listening, if I had someone to slow it down, I
can. Okay.
but... speaking it, I don't know. I'm just not good at it, but I do my best.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really curious because you've had an interesting journey starting off in Venezuela and then doing a lot of work in Mexico. And then now you are in the United States. Tell me about this journey.
It's a long journey. I don't even know where to start because, you know, at first when I started working, I was 16 years old and I wasn't sure what I wanted to specifically do.
Right.
I didn't know that I wanted to be an actor back then. So I first tried modeling. I didn't like that at all. Then I started, you know, booking auditions as a host, host. So I was like, sure, let me have fun with this.
Yeah.
And I worked as a television host for a couple of years in Televen, which is like a big TV network in Venezuela. But then I also started working with E! Entertainment Television for Latin America. So that was one of the first most exciting experiences that I had about my career because, you know, that job got me to go to New York to cover the Fashion Week. So I was like, this is so cool. I loved it. But I think it was because of New York. I love New York.
New York's a great city to visit,
Wow.
I don't know if I could live there.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, like being such a young girl and being able to work in New York, that was a dream come true for sure.
Absolutely.
But I wasn't sure about the hosting part. For some reason, I keep working as a host every now and then, even in Mexico. But it wasn't until I moved to Mexico that I found out about acting, and I was invited to be part of this performing arts school called CEFAT. And I studied there for 4 years and I had amazing teachers. And I fell in love with acting and I was like, okay, this is my passion. So hosting is a cool job, but I am absolutely passionate about acting. I see myself doing this hopefully for the rest of my life as long as I can. And yeah, that was in 2011. And so while I was studying, the TV network that I was working with, because I even had a 5-year exclusivity contract in Mexico, which was very nice for someone who's trying to, you know, build up her career and At the same time, I was going through the whole political situation in Venezuela. So that was a great opportunity for me that I was like, yes, I need to take this. And then, while I was studying in Safat, I was lucky enough to also have the time. They allowed me to work at the same time, as long as it was acting stuff or even hosting stuff. So I was working and studying at the same time. And that's how I started building up my career as an actor. And yeah, so I stayed in Mexico for almost 10 years, around eight, nine years. And I just loved acting. And then I was like, what if I try, doing the next step, which right. is the U.S.? But, like Floyd, the director that I just worked with,
yeah.
he was like, why did you go to Mexico? Why didn't you just go directly to, why didn't you come directly to L.A.? And I realized that I never allowed myself to even dream that big. At first, right. I was like, L.A., Hollywood, oh my God.
Yeah,
I
was right.
like, nah, like that's impossible. And I don't know if it's something, like a minority mentality. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just my insecurity, but I was like, of course, as an actor, you dream with doing it
right.
at the highest place you could ever do it.
So I'm interested because I know I was in the U.S. Navy, and when I went to Spain, my friends that spoke Spanish in the United States, a lot of words were different in Spain. So I guess they're different dialects, or they just have different specific words for specific or different terms for different words. Was it like that when you went to Mexico? Was there a time of adjustment there where you had to be like, figure out the local language?
Absolutely. Each country has its uniqueness, even if they all speak Spanish. Sometimes when I try to watch a film from Spain,
yeah,
sometimes I need subtitles because they speak so quickly and their pronunciation is so different. And some of the words that they say are, have different meanings than the ones that I have.
Right.
Or the ones that we have in Venezuela or even in Mexico. So, yeah, of course. I think there's always an adaptation process every time you're migrating to another country.
Right.
So, yeah, that definitely happened to me in Mexico. And also, when I first got to Mexico, one thing that to me was very shocking was that we as Venezuelans have this idea, this crazy idea that we don't have an accent. So you're like, oh, we are the only country in Latin America that doesn't have an accent. Wrong. So when I got to Mexico, they're like, so we need to work on your accent because you cannot work if you're speaking with Venezuelan accent.
Yeah.
All the roles that you're going to find here in Mexico are mostly for Mexican people. So you're going to have to work on that. And that took me almost like 3 years, even being Spanish.
Yeah.
But it's so different. And I wanted to respect their accent so well because when you're an actor and you love acting, you want to be able to portray this character as truthfully as possible. And I didn't want to, speak half.
Right, half and half.
Half and half. I didn't want to. Yeah, I wanted to respect the characters that came my way. So, yeah, to answer your question, definitely. There's always an adaptation process every time you move to another country.
Gotcha. Well, I know you worked on a show called Lip Sync Mexico. At least that's what they call it here. I don't know if that's what
Lip Sync Mexico.
So, it's very similar to they call Lip Sync Battles here.
Absolutely.
It's from the same
group of, the same production.
Right. I was going to say.
I even met them. They traveled to Mexico and,
That had to be really fun to work on that.
That was so fun. And, like I was saying before, for some reason, hosting jobs keep knocking on my door. And that was one example of it because I didn't even audition for that. But the producers called me. I was lucky that happened. And they were like, hey, we have you. And in our list of people that might be able to work on this show? Do you want to come to the office and see what it is about? And of course, I had heard of Lip Sync Battle before,
right.
So I loved it. I was like, yes, I want to do this. And thankfully, they ended up choosing me, and yeah, we did it. Along with Nicki Jam.
Yeah. What I find fun about those shows is you get to see another side of performers. Like for example, Russell Crowe. We see him just acting in things all the time. And you don't know sometimes what his personality is. Because if you see him doing an interview, he's still doing an interview. He's still kind of working. Well,
yeah.
This is a chance for them to show like, oh, this is, they're being a little bit, maybe they're competitive about singing. or they have their just fun personalities come out.
Yeah.
Were there people that really surprised you on that show where you're like, oh, I...
Well, yes. Ana de la Reguera is a huge actor in Mexico, and she was one of our first guests in the show, and she went crazy.
Yeah.
And she even won that show. And I don't have one person in my mind only, because they all loved it so much. We were playing like kids,
yeah.
And I love that, because exactly like you said, that's exactly right. You never see that side of people where you get to just play like your kids, and that show allowed us that. That was so cool.
Nice. What's the biggest thing that when you came to Los Angeles, like, oh, I did not think that was, what was the biggest surprise you had, like just in general?
Well, the first time I came to LA, I was like, oh, I'm going to Hollywood. Let me see what is Hollywood. Okay.
Oh, that's Hollywood.
it was a shock. I mean, it's now I love LA, but when I first got here, I didn't know what I was expecting. I think, you know, the only idea that I had about Hollywood was based on all the shows, you know, like, oh,
sure.
90210, this is Hollywood. And then you come here and you're like, oh, this is just a normal city with a beautiful sign. But, you know, like, now I really love it. I think I was going through a very tough moment with all the immigration stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I doing here? I miss Mexico and I need to go back. But now I love it. And now that I'm finally an American resident, which was...
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, I don't know. I think that was one thing.
We found out a couple episodes. So you're familiar with Beverly Hills 90210?
When I was a kid.
Okay. So I found this out on the show a couple episodes back. Max Cutler was my guest, and he went to Beverly Hills High, right?
Okay.
And he said, you know, that's not the zip code. It's 90211 or 90212.
Oh, wow.
I guess maybe it just sounds better. I don't know. 90210. Yeah.
I used to have these, like, books with calcomanias. I don't know how to say that. But I was a kid, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. You have this idea. Were you born here? No.
No, I was born in the Philippines.
Right. Exactly.
But I lived there for only 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So
you don't remember how was your...
No, I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
And I've only been back there once.
Wow.
Yeah, so maybe I should go back.
I would love to go to the
past. Yeah?
Yeah.
They have a lot of... I would say I like a lot of the food there, you know, and the fruit is really nice there. And it's very tropical. I want to talk about your starring performance in IR, which is people are... really talking well about it. It was at South by Southwest, which is a very big festival to be at. So congratulations just on being in a film there. But, I mean, you're the star of the movie. When you look at the poster, it's Ariana on the poster, you know? So the movie's not out yet for just, like, public consumption. So if you went to South by Southwest, you saw it. But if not, you haven't seen it. So what can you tell me about the audition for this and shooting it and you know, what it's generally about?
Well, I remember when I was in my house and I saw the audition notice, I immediately fell in love with it because I read that log line and it was, you know, about IR, a Latina, a dreamer. And I don't know, there was something about it that I immediately felt connected with. And I remember I even sent, you know, an actor's access, there's this mission node option.
Sure.
So I even wrote the casting directors like, please, I think I'm perfect for this. I would love if you could consider me for this audition. And they did. And I'm so grateful that they did. And so a long audition process started. It was like 5 or 6 different auditions, between auditions and callbacks and meetings with the director in his house and in the middle of the pandemic. So that was nerve-wracking. But the first audition, the casting directors asked the actors to just tell a story about themselves. And that was the first time I've ever had an audition like that. You usually, as an actor, you get sights, you right. get, you know, the information of the character, and you perform the sights the best way that you can. But this was the first time that it was like, oh, I need to say something about me. And I, this is going to sound very corny, but it reminded me of La La Land. And I was like, oh, nice. Like, you know, Mia's character at the end, her big, huge, big break
right.
with that audition. She needed to tell a story about herself. So that, I think that inspired me in some level for sure when doing the audition. Floyd doesn't know this.
Yeah.
He's going to hate it probably. But I was like, but I just loved it. I was like, okay, let me be fully myself. You know, I really wanted to be 100% honest. I didn't want to prepare something that seemed natural.
Right.
I was like, I'm just going to sit in front of the camera and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, but I'm just going to trust myself
yeah.
and let's do this. And it worked.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how long were you shooting IR? How long, what was the...
13 days.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably pretty intense 13 days.
Yes.
But, man, to get it done in 2 weeks, I mean,
yes.
That's nice.
Yes. I mean, the shooting process, yeah, 13 days.
And where'd you shoot?
We went to Lancaster. Mm-hmm. It was all in L.A.
Oh,
we went to Lancaster.
Gotcha.
We drove on several freeways. Like, yeah, it was all near Lancaster. Yeah.
That's
the desert.
Cool.
So, yeah. We went to a motel. And then cancer, that was amazing. Because, you know, when you are in location and you're not in this made-up set, but you're actually in location, everything feels so much more authentic and
yeah.
real. And that was one of the things that I loved about the story as well, because not only Floyd invited Vilma Vega, which is the co-star, the amazing co-star that I love, Peruvian actor that played the role of my mom, Renata, on the film. Not only he invited Vilma Vega and me to be part of, you know, to perform these
yeah.
characters, but he also wanted us to be part of the creation of the script. So to me, that was a testament that he wanted to do something authentic and real, and he wanted to have our perspectives as two Latina immigrants, dreamers, you know, so we can
right.
inject our experiences to the story, which was only going to help the story to become stronger and yeah and more authentic. So I love that. And yeah,
that's cool. Floyd, the director, I watched a short film of his.
Oh, Zion. Beautiful.
Yeah, Zion, and it was a documentary about mm-hmm. a wrestler that was born without legs.
Yes.
It's very powerful. And I, you know, it was great. I would, anyone who wants to watch it, it's a short film. I think you can watch it on Netflix, I believe. Yeah.
It's on
so
Netflix.
Check out Zion.
It premiered on Sundance, and he immediately got distribution to
show it
on Netflix. Yeah.
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 And you know, this is funny because when I first got the audition notice for IER, I just read that log line. And I usually don't do this. I usually read the log line, then I, you know, try to do my research about who the director is, who are the casting directors, the writers. But this time I just read the log line. I was like, oh man, please, I really want to be considered for this. And it wasn't until like the very last phase of the audition process that
yeah.
I found out that it it was Floyd Ross, the guy who did Zion, this documentary that me and my husband watched about a year before that audition. And I was sobbing, you know, just watching that document. I loved the documentary. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, I will get to work with this guy, this genius. Yes, I want to do this so That's badly. Great. And yeah.
Well, it's cool when it works out like that, when you're kind of a fan of somebody's work and then you get to collaborate with them and then it works out well. You know, that's excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
What can you tell us about the movie?
Yeah.
Like the general, can you tell us the general plot of the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So this, I mean, the story is about Ayar, a first-generation American Latina who comes back home after 5 years of she attempting to get a career as a singer, as a performer in Vegas, but wasn't able to make it. So she comes back to LA to reunite with her child that she left behind in the first place to try to fulfill her dream. So she comes back to try to reunite with her daughter and her mom, Renata, but then Renata doesn't let Ayar to see my daughter.
You missed your chance, is what she's saying.
Yeah, and she, you know, she uses COVID, and we don't know if it's as an excuse or if it's really, you know, her reasoning, but it is, and you know, the film is also in the middle of the pandemic, so it only makes it more complicated. But then Ayar is, you know, confronted with this reality where she needs to realize the mistakes that she's made in the past and you know, try to become the person that she wants to be so she can amend these relationships with her daughter and her mom and her family.
Cool. It sounds like an interesting story of, like, redemption and second chances. And
yeah.
And I like how I'm interested in films that were shot in the last year or so now that are implementing COVID into it and taking that into account so that we're not just like, I would hate to have this thing happen that's been such a giant thing in the world and have it just forgotten by the arts.
Yeah.
Like it didn't happen.
Like a black, like a blank moment
anyway,
in history. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut to 2 years later.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we're back at work.
Yeah. No.
So that's interesting to me. Well, cool. Congratulations on
thank
that. I can't
you.
Wait to see it.
Oh, man. Thank you so
I can't
much.
Wait for everyone else to.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
See it. Before we go any further, look, this is what we really need to talk about. We had breakfast from Amara Cafe in Pasadena, lovely Pasadena. They specialize in Venezuelan cuisine, and you were gracious enough to take me there and introduce me to food from your native country. It was delicious, first of all.
How was it? That was good.
Oh, I loved it. I loved all of it.
My question.
I remember there were empanadas
yes.
that were Venezuelan empanadas. They were different. Mm-hmm. The breading was thinner, probably a different type of bread, too.
With harina pan.
Yeah, harina pan. That's
harina
the type of bread that they covered it with. And then
it's a flour.
Okay, got you. And then there were, I would call it a cheese stick, but it's much
Tequeños.
Better than most cheese sticks. What is that called?
Tequeños.
Tequeños. Gosh, that was so good. And you could tell that it wasn't just like a breading on top of the cheese. It was like a pastry that was wrapped around it. It looked a
delicious.
Little bit like, for, you know, Americans, pig in a blankets, which I don't know if you know what that is. It's
that is
a hot dog, like little hot dogs that have
it's
almost like a croissant roll wrapped around
it.
Yeah, that's what it kind of looked like. It didn't taste like that.
It was
That was really good. Oh gosh.
Arepa.
Arepa.
Had the arepa palpana.
Yeah, and you said there's a bunch of different type arepas.
Yes.
Palpana. Palpana?
Yeah, the one that you ate.
Yeah.
That was, you know, how they called it. Arepa palpana.
Yeah,
like arepa for your friend, for the amigo.
What's interesting about that one is It's got the, well, I know there's different types of it, but the one I had had the meat on the inside, and it was pretty salty. And but then yeah. the outside is the little kind of a sweet bread.
And it's the same flour from the empanadas because oh, gotcha. It's harina pan and it's a corn flour. So with that corn flour, we do a lot of things. We do okay. empanadas, we do arepas, and we can do them asadas, we can do them fritas, we can, you know.
Now, corn flour, is that the same as masa?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because yeah. that's what they use a lot here for like well, tamales I mean, and pupusas.
When you buy it, yeah. yeah. I'm not sure how it's presented with, you know, in Mexico with the tamales yeah. And in these other foods. But in Venezuela, you would buy the flour
yep.
and then you would make the masa yourself.
Yeah, correct.
You
yeah.
would pour the flour with a little bit of salt and water and then you would do like this. And
right.
you make the masa, which is a very simple process.
Yeah.
But then you...
But it takes a little time, right?
Yeah. I mean, like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen people making tamales before. And tamales always taste better if it's... from somebody made it at home than usually at a restaurant. Now, I did have one from Porto's, which is a Cuban
Porto's.
Bakery that is, it's pretty close to here. So, you know, if you guys need lunch later, you should check it out. It's a Cuban bakery. I mean, everything
wait
is
a minute.
Good.
Tamales, aren't they
They do have tamales there. It is Mexican, okay. but they happen to have there. But that was one of the best tamales I've ever had. It was very moist.
Oh. Okay.
Sometimes tamales can dry out a little bit, and they tend to be a little bit dry, but this
yeah.
was very... But anyway, go to Porto's if you want to get like a nice medianoche or,
yeah.
you know, Cubano sandwich or something like that.
Oh,
but yeah,
sounds
there's
delicious.
That's in this area of town, there's several Porto's. Anyway.
And you know what's funny? Because in Venezuela, we have something very similar to tamales,
mm-hmm.
but we call it hallacas. And we only serve that food during Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's like a seasonal food for us, and we love hallacas. That's like the turkey for Thanksgiving
right.
in the U.S. That will be probably our hallacas
yeah.
in Christmas. Yeah.
Well, and I also bought some hot chocolate, which is dark chocolate. And that's what I had this morning before I came in for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
And it was delicious. It was really good. I used water. I think it might even be even better if I used milk.
Probably.
But, you know, I still enjoyed it. What was
nice.
Your favorite thing that we had?
Oh, I loved the tequeños, even
yeah.
if they were very dangerous to my
oh,
nose.
Oh, yeah, they're very, of course.
So, do you want me to tell the story?
Oh, yeah. My God, yes. I forgot about that. You have to tell the story.
So, I've been eating tequeños all my life.
And this is like the cheese stick
yes,
type.
This is the cheese
type.
Stick.
It's much better than a cheese stick,
like
but it's
a
like
thick,
a cheese stick.
Yeah, it's like
yeah,
a thick.
It's bigger,
but,
it's thicker,
yeah,
it's juicier.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely juicier. So I've been eating tequeños all my life, and I take Brent to try, you know, our Venezuelan food. And then I'm like, Brent, you need to taste these tequeños. These are amazing. So I grab one. I eat it. I take a bite of it. And then cheese juice come right up to my nose immediately.
Just went right in your nose.
Right
like,
in my
it was
nose.
Just like...
Right in my nose. I was like, yeah, that was very embarrassing and funny. So then I was feeling super anxious because I wanted to keep eating the tequeños, but I was like, I don't want to.
You don't want more cheese? Now you're thinking like every time cheese is going to go straight for my nose.
Straight in my nose. I don't want that. So I came up with a wonderful idea and I grabbed a napkin and I put the napkin between my nose and the tequeños. And I was like, the safety net
right.
for the cheese juice. But my favorite thing, because wait a minute, you ate cachito.
Okay.
Which
one
was
that?
Yeah, the one with.
Oh, the one that had the.
Like
it?
Honey.
Right.
You know, like, that was bread
yeah.
with chunks of
yep.
jam inside.
Yes.
Cachito, you had the tequeños, the arepa palpana, and las empanadas. My favorite were the tequeños. I love the tequeños.
Yeah, yeah. That's the cheese ones, right?
Yeah.
I
even
like
if
that.
They were aggressive.
I think my favorite one was the one that had the chopped up meat in it, maybe that you put the green sauce on.
Wasn't that the empanada?
Oh, that wasn't. That empanada was really good, but the tequeño was really good also. Those
yes.
are two of my favorite. I mean, I don't want to say that empanada is my favorite. It just sounds so, I guess, basic to me. Like, yeah, I like the imp. Sounds like, yeah, I like the empanada. But it was really good. It was different than it's not exactly the same as a typical empanada I get in Los Angeles here. So, yeah, thank you for and the green sauce. What was the green sauce?
Guasacaca.
Okay, and that's made out of?
It's a secret, actually.
I've
never made guasacaca.
Okay, it's a lot like the green sauce you might get at a Mexican place here, but it's not spicy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think it has a little bit of avocado and green tomatoes, but I'm not 100% sure because, oh my God, I'm a terrible Venezuelan. I haven't made guasacaca
before.
But it's like you eat guasacaca every time you eat an arepa or, you know, an hallaca or more than hallaca. I told you before, the barbecue that we do, you know, when we cook just simple meat in Venezuela, we love to put that guasacaca with the meat and that tastes delicious. But yeah, guasacaca.
That was really good. Well, thank you for all the look.
Of course.
And what here's the I was telling my friend what happened after he ate, which is what he calls, he goes, that's just that Brent Pope magic thing that always happens, which was, you know, we're sitting there and I say to you, and I knew this actor because I had, first of all, I'm a fan of his stuff. And I worked, I guess I can say I worked with him, but in the scene in the show, The Assassination of Johnny Versace, which is a Ryan Murphy show. Oh, gosh, what's his name from Glee? Darren Criss won an Emmy for that show, playing Andrew Cunanan. Probably the first person to win an Emmy for playing a Filipino character.
Oh,
of course, he had to be a murderer. Anyway, Edgar Ramirez plays Versace in that show. He's brilliant in that show. And the scene, I did a couple scenes in that. They both got cut from the show. So you won't ever see me on that show. But I still got to work. So in this scene, Versace, spoiler alert, you know, he gets assassinated. That's what the show is called, The Assassination of Johnny Versace. He's in the hospital room, and they're doing CPR on him. And my character, his whole job was, I see them doing CPR, and then I see his clothes, and I was like, oh, I'm going to sell his clothes, and I take his bloody clothes and his x-rays, and I just leave, right? And then Ryan Murphy had them write me another scene, which is, that was mind-blowing.
Amazing.
Even though it got cut, it was still mind-blowing that Ryan Murphy thought enough of me. They said he was doing an impression of me. Like, I'm a little afraid of that. But
he's like, I want to see this guy
working. Where I was doing a scene where I'm talking to someone on the phone. I was like, yeah, I have his x-rays. I have his clothes. I have this. And I'm trying to sell them to people. So anyway, they all got cut. But since I had worked with him, we were in the same scene together, I felt comfortable. I said, is that Edgar Ramirez over there? And you said, yeah, well, I don't know him. And I said, I work with him. Let's go. You know, because I was excited. I was like, had you ever met?
I was like, yeah, I'm going to go.
Well, have you ever met Edgar Ramirez before?
I've seen him before.
Okay. Yeah, because he's like, I would say he's the biggest Venezuelan actor in America, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
So played Roberto Duran and I think Hands of Stone. He was in the remake of Point
Jennifer
Break.
Lawrence. He was he did Joy with Robert De Niro. Yeah, he's huge. He's like, oh my God.
So if I work with someone, I don't have a problem with going up to them. Now he was with a big group of people and I was like, oh gosh, I think I should know a couple of these other actors too.
Yeah.
I don't know their names, but I'd say I walked up and I said, hey, Mr. Ramirez, I worked in the Versace show with you.
Oh, you said Mr. Ramirez.
Yeah,
you're so
I did.
Cute.
Well, I don't know. I don't be too informal and call him Edgar. So, Mr. Ramirez, I worked with you on the Versace show. And, you know, when they were doing CPR on you, I was the guy who stole all your stuff. And he kind of laughed. And he was like, and then the next thing he said, I was cool. He was like, he goes, how are you? Healthy? And I was like, oh my God, what a nice guy.
That's nice.
Was real genuinely concerned. And then I said, that's my friend Ariana.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like waved at him and talked to him for a little bit. So that was, you know.
I spoke in Spanish and I was like, I brought my friend Ryan to try this Venezuelan food.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
nice.
So my friend calls that Brent Pope magic because it's things like that seem to happen to me.
Oh, that's
I think
so
it's
cool.
A combination of like, I noticed, I was like, oh, I know that guy.
Okay.
I've got that eye like that. And
so
you're
curious and you're also very...
Right. Nosy.
Like
nosy and staring at everyone. I guess that's the way... Nosy, staring at everyone.
So you're basically annoying.
But, you know, I'll describe it as magic. That's what my friend says. Anyway, I thought that was, I was so happy that, I was like, well, you're from Venezuela. That's got to be really cool to meet, like, one of the biggest actors. And then maybe next, so maybe next time you guys are both, if you're both at that place, you could be like, oh, hi, I'm Ariana. He's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. You know, so that would be cool.
I would love that.
Anyway, I love that that happened. And one of those magical things that just happens every once in a while when you work with somebody and you get to kind of engage them later when you're not working. So.
Well, that was one of the, you know, like, now that you mentioned Edgar Ramirez, that was, you know, a huge thing that usually happens in L.A. You're walking down the street and then you see, like, oh, that's Joaquin Phoenix
right.
on his car. Or I saw, like, Jodie Foster or Chris Pratt on the restaurant that I was eating the other day. So that's a cool thing that happens. Oh, my God.
I was doing a comedy festival at a show, and it was very late at night. A lot of maybe drinks happening, and Chris Pratt had done a show at the festival, or maybe he was just watching.
Okay.
But he's hanging out at the bar, and I'm a huge fan. Parks and Rec, Guardians of the Galaxy. This was before Guardians of the Galaxy, I think. But he's sitting, you know, we're all having a good time. And I just want to say, I don't want to bother you. I just say I'm a huge fan of your work. And I go out to shake his hand. He goes, no, man. Brother's got a hug.
Oh,
and he gives me a giant
so
bear.
Nice.
Like, he's just
I thought he was going to be like, no.
Oh, no. He's a nice guy. Big teddy
nice.
Bear. That's what I would say.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, but it is cool that you see those people out all the time. I don't usually talk to them unless we just did a show together or something.
Right, yeah.
Because you don't want to just bother people. I mean, they're out trying to live their lives and hang out, too. But if I do, it's kind of cool to, like, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, thank you for taking me to Breakfast for Venezuelan food. I loved it.
Absolutely.
Ariana Ron-Pedrique, I need to get, before we get out of here, three quick recommendations. What is the hidden gem show or movie that you love that people may not know?
I'm not sure about the part that they may not know, but I watched A Streetcar Named Desire.
Which one?
With Marlon Brando.
Oh, yes.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. I loved it.
Just some, I would call seminal movie moments in that, right?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. So, yeah.
And it just, the lighting looks cool.
But the acting.
Marlon Brando
in
his wife beater shirt, you know, like, yeah, it's great stuff. What is the show or movie that you watch just for fun?
Hi, I'm Dave.
What is that?
You haven't watched I'm Dave?
Wait, is that the guy that's the rapper?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
Is that the guy that says Lil Dicky or something?
Yes.
Oh, my God. He's so funny. Yeah. I almost forgot about that.
You know, like, it's funny because I usually watch drama shows or films in my house, and I love drama. But then me and my husband found Dave. We were like, oh, okay, let's give it a try. I was laughing like, ha, ha. I couldn't stop myself. Like, I really loved it. I think he's very talented.
Oh, that's cool. He is. He's a great rapper, man.
Oh, my God. And I love that he's so different. Like, am different.
Yep.
I'm a Jewish rapper.
Yeah.
That it's not going to show you my bling bling.
Right.
I'm going to have my, you know, my flower shirt and I'm going to rap.
Yeah. And he does the whole thing where
like,
he's
6 minutes.
Right. And he's making a
straight.
I don't know if I saw it was on the show or if it's outside of the show where he, like, made. He tried to make a music video for no money, basically, and he just got all these people in. He's like, would you just be in it for 5 seconds? Like, and he put it all together, and it looked amazing. It was like all favors.
And I love how he, I mean, this is going to, I don't know. It's also inspiring. Because the guy is a dreamer, and he's like, I'm going to do something that seems impossible. I'm going to try to do something that, you know, you wouldn't see someone that looked like me.
Right.
Doing it,
yeah,
and I don't care. I'm gonna do it. So in a way, that reminded me of me because I was like, okay, I don't look Latina according to Hollywood standards of what a Latino Latinx person should, quote unquote, look like. So when I saw that, I was like, if he can do it, I can do it as well. You know, like it was a little reminder that I'm in the right path.
Yeah.
As it was IR, of course.
Right, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. What is the show or movie that inspires you?
So many. But lately, I've watched over and over again Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, God, that's a great one.
I love that movie. Yeah. I also watched Rain Man. But, you know, Kramer versus Kramer was something. It's something that I can watch and it never gets old. And I love Meryl Streep and I love Dustin Hoffman and I love the story and But I also found another one called Life Ahead.
What is that?
It's a film on Netflix with Sofia Loren.
Is this a recent?
Yes.
I saw it the other day because I was like, my wife was watching it. I was kind of in and out. So I'll go back and watch it. It was great.
She
still looks great.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She's beautiful, but more than that, she's so talented.
Oh, of course. She's just she's a living
Sofia
legend,
Loren.
Right?
Yes. And
Sofia Loren. I mean,
the kid that plays in the film, that was his first film ever.
Oh, wow.
And he's great, too.
I also think her name, I think almost any woman given the chance would switch names and be Sofia Loren. It's such a cool name. Sofia, what's your name? Sofia Loren. I would do it too. Like, I'm French. Sofia Loren. That's my name. Yeah.
It is cool.
So, today on Sofia Lorenfest. It works. I'm going to change my name to Sofia Loren. Change the show to Lorenfest. Well, that's great. Thank you for those. Thank you for those recommendations. They're great ones. Yeah, I dig it. If you would like to get more Brentfest stuff, such as pictures of Ariana Ron-Petrique and I enjoying our Brentfest from Amara Cafe, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the Brentfest episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances. And finally, you demanded it, a Brentfest store with a bunch of fun stuff, shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, perfect for any occasion. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the Brentfest store. You will be very, very glad you did. On social media, you can hit me up on Instagram at ScoopsPope. Give me a follow, and if you have a Brentfest question, ask away. And make sure you follow my Facebook actor page. And if you like the show, please subscribe, leave us a review, share it with friends. It's very helpful to the show. Brentfest is being enjoyed all over the United States and in over 36 countries covering 6 continents. And trust me, my omelet omnivores, my coffee cohort, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown, for all the Brentfest slicing and dicing. Much appreciate. Big ups also to my studio engineer, Daniel Erickson, for making me sound so good. Ariana Ron-Petrique, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
Oh, okay. Social media at Ari Ron-Petrique. You can find me on Instagram. And now I'm also on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
I'm currently working with a Venezuelan producer and writer, friend of mine, 2 feature films that we have on the table, and I've been helping him edit the scripts of those. And if we're lucky and if everything goes as planned, we might be filming one of those soon.
Cool.
Yes. And I also have a potential offer from a Mexican producer to be the star on a feature film by the end of this year. So let's see what happens.
Sounds good.
Yes.
All right, keep that momentum going.
Yes.
Well, Ariana, thank you so much for coming into the studio. It's
thank
delightful
you, Brent,
to talk to people face to face.
Yes, absolutely.
This hasn't happened too much lately, but I'm very excited. And I love your story. I love where your career is going, and I can't wait to see IR. It sounds amazing.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. And with that, we put another Venezuelan hot chocolate worthy episode of Brentfest with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.